Hey everybody, welcome to Sound Bombing. I created this show for people who want to experience a radical, life-changing journey through the sounds of my diverse guests. I hope that each sound you hear on this show will strengthen your faith, encourage your dreams, and challenge you to awaken the greatness within you.
Drop the bomb.
We're gonna drop the bomb.
This is a journey into sound. A journey which along the way will bring to you new color, new dimension, new values, and a new experience.
Lamar Darnell Shields.
If Christian Ross looks and sounds familiar to you, she either sold you your home or you've seen her on an episode of HDTV's House Hunters. With more than 10 years experience as an international realtor, the TV personality specializes in luxury properties in Atlanta, the Caribbean, Africa, the Middle East, and Australia. She is one of Atlanta's most respected and recognized top-selling brokers whose success has flourished into an international client base expanding through Europe, South America, Israel, Canada, and Australia. The former senior vice president and managing broker for the Tech-Based Village Realty at Atlanta Tech Village, the fourth largest tech startup hub in the United States, Christian now holds position as the managing broker for Engel and Volkers Atlanta. There, she continues to experience her influence as a global real estate advisor, serving and enhancing the buyer and seller experience, as well as consulting on wealth building opportunities. For over 13 years, Christian has been a go-to advocate and resource in her industry. The demand for expertise has landed her position as a VP on the board of directors for the Atlanta Realtors Association, president-elect for Atlanta chapter of the FIABCI, International Real Estate Federation, and participation in the inaugural class of Atlanta's Beltline University. Christian Ross was named the youngest president of Atlanta chapters of Women's Council on Realtors and holds a BA in Mass Media Arts with a concentration in public relations from the great Clark Atlanta University. She has been featured in Forbes, the Atlanta Journal, Constitution, and Simply Buckhead. Heard on NPR, seen on CBS 46, and 11 Live, Atlantis and Company, and has been showcased on episodes on HGTV, House Hunters. And now she is in the bomb shelter with me. What's up, Christian? Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Man, first of all, I love your energy. I want to buy a house right now, okay? We're going to talk about that later on.
Because come on, let's go.
If you got that type of energy when you came into the bomb shelter, and then I found out that you got Baltimore roots, so I know you all fly and glam in Atlanta, but that means she got a little hood in her, y'all. So a little hood in her, and that's probably why you have become so amazing a boss in selling real estate, because if you are from Baltimore, I know you are a boss because you're taking that Baltimore drive with you. So I'm excited that you are here with us. And so let's get started. So tell me, how did this Baltimore girl go from Baltimore to Clark Atlanta? And then now you are this real estate mogul. I saw your videos. I love your cute videos. They're really, really cool. And I got a chance to see some of your clips. So tell me about the career path that led you to the job that you're doing right now.
You know what's funny? What led me to Atlanta, I would have never imagined it, was the fact of getting away from my mother. And I say that with love. I say that with respect. I say that with honor. But my mother is an auditor, and she traveled to D.C. and Pennsylvania, and that was her little territory, Delaware. So it was all this little, you know, hub. And I applied to Temple. And I said, okay, I'm going to go to Temple. And she said, great. I can see you every weekend. And I was like, oh no. So I was like, how far can I go that she cannot drive every weekend? And then I just started researching public relations and communications programs. I looked at Spelman. They didn't have that program, but Clark did. And then just knowing, you know, growing up, watching Martin, seeing the HBCU shirts and the girl Kanai, I was like, this is where I need to go. So that was my journey to Atlanta.
It's interesting that you would reference a cultural phenom like Martin Lawrence. You know, when you talk about the power of media, I mean, you know, mass communications degree from Clark Atlanta. And it's interesting that you would say that because, again, he used to rock the HB. I got to say, he rocked a couple of Grambling. You know, I love the fact that he rocked the Grambling shirts. But the fact that he was wearing a lot of these HBCUs, I remember on the Cosby Show, Bill Cosby,
exactly.
You know, rocking. So because of the media, you talked about this inspired or encouraged you to want to go to Atlanta to attend HBCU.
And I think I could say for a really good portion of my class that's one thing that we always talked about was seeing Hillman, you know, the fictional Hillman, seeing the Cosby Show, seeing these things that showed that this is where you need to go. This is the path you need to look at.
And you found your path. So we're gonna talk about images, and we're gonna talk about that shortly, because I wanna come back to that later on. Not just about the HBCU piece, but then also about this image, of course, being a woman of color, working in real estate. But I wanna know, what was it like when you sold your first property? Walk me through that day, what the day was like, what you were wearing, what you were eating, what were you drinking after that? Who were you on the phone with? Walk me through that very first day of that very first sale of property.
You know, so once again, these unusual paths that I like to take. I didn't come in on a normal agent path of like, oh, go get your license and then go to a real estate firm. I was in media sales when I graduated college. And my friend said to me, you know what? I think you would be, my friend is looking for someone to come work with him. His group does primarily condo conversions and converting apartments to condominiums, and I think you would be great working for him. He needs like a right hand. And I was like, so you want me to go from an account executive to an assistant? Like, is this what you're saying? He's like, yeah, but I think it'll pay off. I think it'll be great. And I'm like, okay. So I went, interviewed with the guy, talked to him, and he's like, look, you're going to be my right hand. You're going to work more than 40 hours. That's just the business. But you're going to learn a lot, and you're going to take a pay cut to start, but then you'll grow and you'll be able to, you know, make more money later. So, of course, you have your mom in your ear, but you have a corporate card and you've got a good job and you have benefits. But, you know, it was one of those things.
Did she sound just like that? No, I'm just playing. That's a good, I don't even know your mother, but that's a good impersonation, I'm sure.
She would probably punch me dead in my mouth if she heard me say that. But, it was one of those things, though, that I was like, if I don't do it now, when will I do it? And I think that's a lot of times that we ask ourselves, no matter what stage we are in life. But at the time, you know, I was, what, 23? So I really was just like, if I don't do it now, when am I going to do it? Like, let's do it. So I went, and I went to work for this guy and his company, and I learned so much, and I probably worked 75 hours a week getting paid nearly minimum wage until I started making bonuses. But I learned so much, and to the point where I was cross-collateralizing properties. I was working in the commercial space. I was doing a lot of things that a normal just agent doesn't do. So I learned a great deal in a year until he called me at 3:00 in the morning and asked me, said he had a great idea. And I was like, I can't do this with you anymore. And I went and got my license.
Wow.
But that first sale as a agent was much different, but that first sale working with him was really working on a whole apartment community, converting it into condominiums. So it was very different than a usual traditional sale.
So you talk about you talked about seizing the time. Let's talk about that, because a lot of times, you know, there's this great hesitation when it comes to work or being an entrepreneur. And I don't know if you're familiar with this concept. That just recently you're hearing more about it more and more. It's called the 5 minute. Are you familiar with, I mean, the 5 second rule? Because
I have.
Yeah. So,
yes.
So this whole 5 second rule that, you know, you typically have about 5 seconds to make this decision. And if you don't make that decision, within that time frame, you somewhat lose it. Let's talk about seizing the time, because you said this was an opportunity right now. And if I didn't do it now, then what could happen later on? Explain to me what that actually means.
You know, I'm one of those people that I'm always about introspection. That's a big thing for me, because, you know, we can't be accountable to others if we're not accountable to ourselves. And that's not this is just today. That's an everyday, every moment thing. So when I think about seizing, I just think about the fact of, would I be upset if I let this opportunity go? And if I answer yes, then I need to take it. And even if it scares the hell out of me, I just need to do it, and I need to figure it out later.
So talking about fear and being afraid, what strategies have you used to overcome certain fears?
Well, of course, next to prayer.
That's
that
a good
would
one.
Be it would really be talking to my mom, because my mom, man, she's so amazing. She was one of the first Black auditors in Baltimore. She was the first Black auditor, female auditor at the Federal Reserve Bank. And my mom had my sister when she was 16. So for her to take like 9 years to get her degree and still just keep leveling up, you know, my mother just taught me so many lessons that I use every day. And I remember too, when she told me, you know, when I graduated college, she said, make sure that you cover yourself and you record everything. I don't care, time, dates, whatever. And I remember I was working with an ad agency out of New York on the Got Milk campaign. Remember Got Milk?
Yeah, I do. Yes.
And one of the people tried to throw me under the bus, and I knew I had everything documented. And I went and I pulled it. I gave it to our vice president. And, you know, but if that was a lesson for my mom. So she's one of those main people about seizing the time that, and even though I give her hell for telling me no to real estate, you have a good job, she does a pretty good job. She has a good track record outside of that.
So that's a good example. Using your mom as an example, what other experiences best prepared you for the job that you're currently doing? So you talked about your mom and of course, leaning on your mom for advice. And then you talked about, she said, documenting. What are some other experiences that have prepared you for what you're doing right now?
Really just meeting people, learning their stories, learning their experiences. You know, if there's one thing I challenge anyone to do is it doesn't matter how high you get, whatever level, you can never stop learning. You just can't. You always have to be on top of what's next. And I'm always working to create relationships, because those relationships, it doesn't have to have a ROI that's money, but the ROI of what I learn and what I can understand and comprehend, I mean, that has tremendous value that's not monetary.
So why is it important for someone to know another person's story as it relates to business or entrepreneurship? And then how does one engage that process?
It's just empathy. You know, EQ is a really big thing. And to be able to step into someone's shoes, understand their perspective, understand how you can come of value to them, I think that's a huge perspective to have.
So I love that, having a perspective. So let's talk about Atlanta, because I know Atlanta is a huge market that's saturated with a lot of stuff going on. I remember going down there during the 90s. I'm starting to see what was taking place in the 90s now being birthed right now. So how have you been able to build your name? One is to be trusted, to be a trusted source in real estate, not only in the Atlanta area, but also abroad.
I think the biggest thing is just doing what I say I'm going to do. No one can match me on my follow through and my follow up. and no one can match my work ethic. I will outwork anyone. And it's different when it's your passion. Like, I truly am passionate about it. I enjoy helping people grow. Like, at our brokerage, it's not just me making sales. It's me helping our advisors grow. So, like, just knowing that you're creating just a footprint that's bigger than you, That's huge. That's such a great responsibility. And I think the best thing is, once people know you follow through, they tell other people that.
So what do you think is the secret to finding one's passion? So you talked about being passionate. What is the secret?
You said this. You said what would be the secret.
So what's the secret to finding your passion? So you talked about finding your passion, but what is that secret? So for those listeners that are out there that's trying, they're like, I'm really liking what Christian is saying, and I was really moved by what she said. She talked about passion, and so, but what is the secret to finding one's passion?
I wish I knew. I wish you would tell me. I don't know, because of the fact that I feel like I found it accidentally. I wasn't looking for it. All I knew was at my old job working for media sales, I really enjoyed it. I love all the relationships I made. But at the same time, I said, how many times can I sell a country station, whether it's in Dallas, or how many times can I sell the urban station, whether it's in Baltimore or it's, you know, New York? So I think finding your passion really goes to, if you were doing this for the longest amount of hours per day, what would you enjoy doing? Because my normal, and it just is what it is, I probably work about 80 hours a week, easily. But I love it, and I'm up, and I do it, and I love it.
All right, so speaking about those 80 hours a week, and then we're going to talk about self-care, because I always tell people self-care, self-love, self-care is not selfish. We're going to talk about that shortly, and I hear the passion in your voice for what you do. But let's talk about some of the most challenging parts of your job. What do you find mm-hmm. most difficult when doing this job? One is, you're a woman of color and you're in a male-dominated field. Let's talk about some of the challenges. And then how do you then overcome those challenges? Because the people that tune in to this show, we're talking about innovators, and you're an innovator, but they also want to hear some of the strategy.
Oh, yeah. I think challenges is just the reality, is especially being in the South, sometimes people think you don't belong where you are. And I think it's just, you have to plant your 2 feet in the ground, and you know, you always treat people with respect, you always treat people with kindness, but I think it's just imperative that you are who you are, and you're not afraid of that, because I am who I am, but I also work tremendously hard, and I'm not going to let anyone discount the work that I put in. I said last night, I was talking about someone, this guy, I was like, oh, did this man try to grill me like shrimp? No problem, you know?
And you were ready for him, huh?
But, yeah, so, like, you know, he's asking me these questions, and I get it, and he wasn't, he was someone who was a very big fish, but we've dealt with much bigger. So I'm like, it's okay. So, you know, it's one of those things where you just have to let people know. So I think challenges-wise, too, is not just, of course, standing on your ground, but it's also, too, making sure that you know everything. You know, you're always learning, because, and I go back to that, because when you know things, data and knowledge just speaks volumes.
Numbers, and listen, you are so right. Data, knowledge, and numbers. I just watched The Black Godfather. I don't know if you've seen this. This film is amazing. Mm-hmm. It's on Netflix. This individual who actually had a major role in the record industry, and I had never heard of him, but everybody referenced this guy. He and Quincy Jones are really, 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 really tight. And he always talks about numbers don't lie. His name is Avant. He said numbers do not lie. And I was blown away when he was saying that. I'm like, his name is Clarence Avant. And everybody knew this guy. He had no experience in the music industry, but he was a hard worker from the South. And what you just said really resonated with me, because he kept saying data and knowledge, you know, those are the things that are going to be absolute, regardless if it's a big fish or a small fish, that I can back it up with that. And I'm hearing you sort of say that. And so those are the ways that you
That's
sort
true.
Of... Those are the things that sort of help you deal with it. So, but what keeps you going through some of those difficult times? Because again, when you talk about challenges, you dealt with that. But then there are also some difficult times when you talk about the market shifting, when you talk about financially what people are. I watched some of your videos.
Oh my
you
gosh.
Talked about people having to sell off, and then they become renters, and then all this. So what keeps you going through difficult times? And then what message do you have for those people that you're selling property to, that also feel the difficulties coming on board as well?
Yeah, so the funny thing is, I always think about when the downturn happened, that, you know, I hate when they call it a recession, and many people have heard me say that, because that was like, go off the cliff when you see that in a movie in a car, the car goes on fire, it goes down another cliff and keeps rolling. That's what that was. And it was horrible. And that was one of the scariest times of my life. And then you have to be resourceful. Like, I knew I wanted to stay in real estate, but how do I stay in real estate when prices have gone down 80%? So you're not, that means you're also making 80% less money. But your marketing budget is still the same. Your expenses are still the same. So I actually partnered with a local real estate attorney and started doing agent marketing for her. I was like, hey, I'm around agents all day. Why don't I help you market, you know, help you get these relationships to help you bring in business, and then I'll bring my closings to you. So that was great because that kept me in real estate. I learned the legal side at the same time, so it was a way I could keep learning. And it helped keep me afloat that I had the flexibility to keep selling, but then, too, I was able to still get paid as a consultant. So that was huge. So I think you always have to look for those opportunities. And I think of, what's her name? I read her book in the downturn, Patti LaBelle. Her book, I can't remember what it's called, but one of the things said, save your money and your money will save you. And I had been very aggressive saving when I got into real estate. And I feel like that helped me the first 2 years while the market was down. Now, mind you, we went through that for like 5 years.
And you learned that from Patti LaBelle, the singer?
Yep. It was such a great book. And my mom got it for me.
Was it Patti's Pearls?
Yep, that's it.
Okay, because I was about to say, it could be the recipes for good life, but it was Patti's Pearls.
No,
I know she's the pilot.
Patti's Pearls.
Wow. It's interesting. You jumped the gun. We're gonna talk about some of your reading materials. So you talked about saving very, very early, and that really, really value. And I'm loving that you're lifting up your mom. You know, I'm loving the fact that, you know, even though you have all these degrees, you met all these people, it keeps coming back to how you were raised and you were reared in that foundation. How important is family when it comes to you being in business?
It's so important. I mean, I've been blessed. My husband and I have been together. I don't know why I always have to pause. Something about this year makes me pause.
You know, typically the man tries to remember, but now we got you on recording. So when he hears this, I'm giving you some time to think about it while I'm going to keep talking, but go ahead. How long?
No, it's bad because he just says, oh, we've been together 20 years. And I'm like, honey, I'd be in like high school. That's not cute. So no, we have been together for 14 years. This year we will be married for 13 years.
Congrats.
And I think I look at my business the way I look at my relationship with him, like the fact of how we went all the way down together. You know, we rose up together, came down together, rose up together, back up together out of the ashes. I just think that's how you just have to treat everything, and family is just, it's that mainstay. So you always have to make sure that you're watering it like a plant. And I know I'm bad with my cousins and I love them. But you know, like my mom, my husband, his family is incredible. I married into the most incredible family. I'm so, like, my mother-in-law, she passed away a few years ago, and this woman poured into me like nobody's business. And, you know, she was from Trinidad, moved to London where he was born, moved back to Trinidad, and moved to New York. She owned a house every place she went. She moved to London, New York, Miami, and she moved from Miami to Atlanta. And, of course, I was her agent, but, you know, she was just very decisive and always giving me just life lessons, which I think is so cool. So my family is very important. And that's the thing that I love about real estate, is that my clients, I would say 90% of them, become my family.
Wow. I like that. So it's beyond just making a buck. So when you talk about values, you shared the value of family. So I'm going to ask you, what are your, and you can pull out a pen and you may have this already. I'm not going to ask you who your top five MCs are. I might ask your husband. But I'm going to use the number five, and we're going to talk about values. Okay. So I'm preparing you for this. Because you talked about you value family, so you already got one. So you have a cheat sheet. You already have one. Now you got to get four more. What are your top five values as it relates to the work that you're doing as a realtor, as an entrepreneur, as a female boss who's doing work internationally? Top five values.
I would say definitely integrity. Just to be honest in everything that I do. Compassion, because right now, one thing we're experiencing in real estate is, you know, a lot of communities are getting gentrified. And I think I started an organization called the Senior Guard because I think it's very important that our legacy residents, no matter what city they're in, understand that they need to have a plan in place for how their property goes after they leave this earth. And a lot of families don't have that, and your property shouldn't be in the hands of the government after you die. It should go to whoever you want it to go to. So I'm very passionate about making sure people have wills and just, you know, understand what that process looks like, that they have to be responsible about it. So integrity, compassion.
Family.
I would definitely say humor.
Humor, yes.
anyone who is around me, like, I always hear, Christian, you're always up. Do you have a bad day? And I'm like, of course I do, but I'm blessed. Like, I'm cool. I'm out here walking and talking and doing what I want to do, and I'm free. Like, I'm living the life. So anything else is just small.
Yeah, one more.
Family, integrity, compassion, humor. I'll say love.
Wow.
For sure. I love love. It's like my thing.
Yeah, I think love is very, very important. I would tell people, you don't have to like them, but just loving them. You know, I think some people, you need to love the hell out of them. And so I really, really appreciate that. So you talked about, you know, compassion. And when you talk about the society that we live in, the people that receive the least amount of compassion are people of color. We know that. Women of color, you talked about you having your Trinidadian roots on the other side. How important do you think it is for the African-American community to know the importance of home ownership? Because there's a lot of myths that steer some of us from making that commitment.
I think it's very important because, you know, real estate's the number one wealth building tool. So when you think of the fact, I mean, I had a couple that, man, I think they were like 31. And I remember that they got a check from closing for like $125,000. I don't know anybody else getting a check for $125,000.
I know that's right. We need some sponsors off air. Can you give me their names?
And you know, I just think like it provides you the opportunity to create the life that you want. Like being able to invest in real estate and have passive income. Or, you know, one of my goals is to pay my mother's mortgage every month. I know she can pay it, but that would be like a gift for me to her to know that she wouldn't have to worry about that. So I think it just like, you know, we all want options. And the reality is too, is that your zip code a lot of times determines your ascension, which isn't right, but we're seeing that. So I think just being able to own and just start, you're paying rent regardless, you're paying somebody's mortgage. So being able to buy a home, doing it responsibly, not buying what the mortgage lender said, but the reality is you live in your payment. So making sure the payment is comfortable for you, making sure that you're saving, I think it just helps you also build those wealth building habits.
I love that. So when you got involved in the real estate, what are some beliefs that you had prior to that you found out not to be true? Like I believe this, and then that's it. I love your laugh. Like, I thought this, but then this.
I thought it would just be showing, I thought at first, now this is like way, I would say before actually getting into real estate, but I thought it was just like, oh, they just show homes and that's it. But no one shows you that, like, when you list a home, there's 180 steps plus to get to closing. There's all the negotiations. There's all the emotions. I think, too, I thought that you could make your own schedule. That is a lie. You know, I work when my clients work, and then I'm working when they're not working because I need to work to present them something at another time. So you're kind of never off. And like last night, I was writing two offers until 12:30 a.m. And that's the thing, is no matter what you do, like, people need to appreciate it. And I appreciated the fact that my client, who's from Iran, was, you know, text me and just said, hey, Christian, I appreciate you being up to take care of this. And I think that's the other thing my international clients appreciate, is the fact that I have my phone set for every time zone. If I need to call you 3 p.m. Shanghai time, you know, which is 3 a.m. my time, I'm going to set my alarm and I'm going to call you and we're going to work it out.
Girl, let me find out. You speak in Mandarin, Chinese? What else? Shanghai? What? This little girl from Baltimore City? Clark, Atlanta? Did you just say, I'm calling? You didn't say, yeah, I'm going to call Memphis, Tennessee. No, I'm going to call Shanghai. Because while I'm up late at night, it's morning in Shanghai, and since I'm fluent in Mandarin anyway,
I wish I was.
I know. Could you imagine? First of all, Mandarin is one of the hardest languages. I'm a linguist, so I speak Spanish and I study languages. So one of the could you imagine how much we're gonna talk about off air? We're gonna get us a translator, and we're gonna talk about that. So speaking of coming into this business. And what advice do you have for someone who wants to enter real estate as a profession?
I would say just remember that you don't have to be licensed to be in the profession. There's a lot of ways you can come into real estate. You can come in as an investor. You know, my husband's never been licensed. He's also an investor. He started off as an investor. But he's in IT. So I think one of the things is like with anything, anytime you're making any entrepreneurial move, is to look at the cost and, like Grant Cardone says in the 10X book, and multiply it times 10. It's going to take 10 times as much effort. May not take 10 times more money, but I mean, the way it hurts your pocket, you'll feel it 10 times more. So you just, like, preparation is key. It's just really key, and just making, seeing where you want your niche to be. Maybe it's a neighborhood. Maybe you want to do commercial and focus on businesses. If you focus on commercial, is it retail? Is it industrial? Is it office space? So there's a lot of different ways to come in. I think it's really determining how you want your lifestyle to be and then kind of picking which one works for you and talking to people who are in the business.
So was there ever a moment that you felt sort of intimidated? You know, again, earlier we talked about images. We talked about Martin and seeing these images of Martin and other people wearing these HBCU shirts. Was there ever a moment where you just felt intimidated based on the images of how maybe women of color have been portrayed in the market of real estate?
I want to say I didn't feel so much intimidation being a black woman. I think that was also because of the market that I'm in. Atlanta, we're super chocolate. So, you know, it's just, you know, we're not just chocolate. We're like dark chocolate. Mm-hmm. So I think it was more so age for me. It was more so the intimidation of age of I'm 23, I'm 24, I'm 25. Like the average age of a realtor is 52. And that's way different than being 23 coming in. So I think that for me was that, and just like, oh, how do I get to their level of knowledge and how do I understand how to communicate? Because a lot of times it's not even, you know, racial or, you know, or cultural communication. It's also the generational communication of, let me make sure I'm not offending you by saying this thing. So I think it's on that level more so for me anyway.
So then how do you handle the whole piece around ageism?
At the beginning, it was just, again, going back to learning people's stories. When you ask questions are a very powerful thing. And that's one of the books, one of the first books I read getting into real estate. I think it was called The Power of Questions. And I love that book because it was just talking about how much you can learn if you just keep asking questions. And so, you know, you don't want to make it jeopardy. You definitely want to engage the person. But just learning someone else's journey, like, oh, you are super rich from Buckhead. Great. I have absolutely no idea what that lifestyle is like. But please, tell me more. You know, like just finding out and just being able to connect with people. Now, I mean, these are people I've now known for going on, you know, 15 years. And they're aging up. I'm aging. You know, we're all aging. And I'm trying to pour into the people who are coming in. So it's
interesting that
I answered that.
No, you did. It's interesting you referenced the book Power of Questions, which I'm familiar with. I think it's came out, I think, I want to say 2012. We're talking about the same book about building relationships, winning new influences, and influencing others. But questions are very, very powerful. I think a lot of times we don't value the questions enough. We always want the answers. But again, Pedro Nogueira, who's one of my mentors, said you ask different questions, you get different answers. And I think it's really, really about that. You know, we look at our children when they're young and they start to ask all these questions and then we get upset and we lose our patience. But that's how you grow. That's how you grow. I created this show, Sound Bombing, and I wanted to introduce people to these innovators. And you're one of those innovators. It's about asking, you know, very, very different questions that, you know, people typically won't really ask because, you know, they want to know about how much money you're making and how was the hard sale and what do you do? If this was a business show, we would do that. Have you ever had the client from hell that you work with without mentioning names?
Yes.
And can you describe what it was like working with the client from hell? And then how did you come out of that? What are those tools that you
I've had a few clients from hell and a few that I fired and one that I'm trying to get paid from right now that I'm like, God is going to get you. So the clients from hell are always the ones who just don't appreciate anything that you do and that you can never do anything good enough no matter how well you do it and how well you know you did something. So those are the ones that are just the egomaniacs. And I've dealt with plenty of egomaniacs. I have no problem dealing with them. But it's the ones who have this just expectation of, like, this ridiculous expectation. And I've just always dealt with it by just making sure that I just look at the situation. I'm like, man, I don't know, you know, what's going on in your life, but it must be really bad. So I just think from that perspective, and it actually just makes me chuckle instead of getting upset. Like 10 years ago, I would have been upset. I internalized everything. But then you just never know what's going on in someone's life or in someone's mind or who's in their ear. So I just ignore it now. And if I'm not the right fit for someone, I let them know. I don't think I'm the right fit for you. Like, I am fine with walking away from business because my state of mind and my quality of life is way more important.
So how do you handle, for example, you are a very attractive woman. How do you handle men and or women, because I know this is 2019, who you thought it was about business and it became or it attempted to become something?
You know, okay, I have to tell you the story because it's really interesting. And thank you. What was it? When I was probably 06, I think. I was standing on the steps of my old office. I was with my friend Willie and another agent who shall remain unnamed. And she said to me, I just, like, these men who just hit on me while I'm trying to show them houses, how do you deal with that? And I was like, I've actually never had anyone, like, do anything. I said, I don't know. How do you handle it? So lo and behold, later on, this girl goes and talks about me like a dog to the point that my friend says, what did you do to her? What did you say to her? And I'm like, the only conversation I've had with this young lady is like when we were standing there. So anyway, she ended up getting fired from the firm because she went straight mental, cursed everybody out. That was her. But it just shows you like how people will like throw daggers at you and like you just have to keep straight. But I really haven't had, I've only had one client who I feel like said something and was like, oh, we should just go to dinner. Like, it wasn't like a regular client dinner that I have. It was more so like, oh, we should go to dinner. And I was like, for what? Like, do we need to talk about something? He was like, no. You know, I'm just like, I'm trying to understand. And he was like, no, you know, I mean, like, just you and me, just go to dinner. Like, you know, just get to know each other better. But it was his tone. You know what I mean? It's one thing if someone says something and it's like, oh, no, let's go and talk. It's another thing when they're like, no, you know, let's just go to dinner. Like, nah. You know, I shut that down and I was like, we're doing showings between the hours of 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. So that's what I do with him. Wow. But I would say I've been blessed. I haven't had a crazy encounter other than him.
Well, that's good. Well, what advice do you have for a woman and or man who's involved in real estate and that happens?
I think first they need to refer that person to someone else. They need to separate themselves. So refer them to someone else, address the situation and let them know that you felt uncomfortable. But then definitely just refer out and then let your colleagues know that this was the situation. So if you're referring it to someone, I'll refer it to someone who's the same sex as that other person.
Good advice. So I want to hit this last question, then the fun part comes next. All right. So there are many entrepreneurs that have made small improvements to the world, but very few who have completely changed the way the world does things. You know, Steve Jobs was one of these few, from making, of course, the MP3 into the main way we listen to music right now. Sometimes it almost seems as if they can see into the future, or maybe they create the future. So since this season we're talking about is innovation, what do you feel is the key to true innovation in the field that you're actually in? And how have you been innovative?
Oh, that's deep.
Yeah, I told deep, you it's Doc. Easy after this.
I think the key to innovation in my industry is understanding the experience, understanding what the experience is for people who are buying, who are selling, understanding the perspective of an agent, seeing where those gaps are at. And that's why our industry is seeing so much quote-unquote disruption right now. Some of it's disruption, some of it's Saudi money that we'll call disruption. But either way, we're seeing that. And so I think, you know, just understanding the experience and where you can fill the gap is where, like, genius and just magic happens. Then you said, how have I been an innovator? I would say I'm like a connector. So I think I've been able to just bring another perspective to the table. You know, as far as the Atlanta Realtors Association, we now just hit 10,000 members. And in that, you know, we have a very diverse membership. So I think just being able to see how I can connect people, connect ideas, connect period. Like, I just held a panel on the entertainment industry in Atlanta because we're one of the top three markets for filming. So how do you get that business? So I think introducing opportunity is where I'm, and connecting is where my innovation lies.
And then I guess using TV as a medium, because you have this sort of HGTV connection. How did that come to play, that whole process? And what was that actually like?
That came to process because of a client who called me and said, hey, I want to go on HGTV, so I'm putting in an application. I was like, okay. And he said, I need you to make a video. So I made a video. And of course, I wanted to kill him because it was when the market was down. And we had the actual, which I think we still hold the title for, of the least expensive property on House Hunters at a whopping $40,000.
How much was it?
$40,000.
Did that house eventually sell?
Yeah. Well, he bought it. We had lost out on like 19 offers. It was so competitive because American real estate was on sale during the downturn. So we did the episode, and next thing you know, my line just started blowing up with international investors. Because then I did a video on why you should invest in Atlanta.
I saw that video. Oh my God. That was cool. It was like 10 reasons or 10.
Yes.
Yeah. 10. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. From back in the day, you know, I had the sheet up. I had the sun in one eye. It is not a cute video.
But those are things that remind you of, you didn't mention like Pascal's food in there though. I mean, you didn't mention some, I'm just playing. You know, I know Atlanta. I'm going way back. You didn't mention the fried chicken or the clubs.
Or Seagulls that is or no longer.
Yes, there you go. But again, I mean, you think about that. You look at that video, but at the time, you were doing something innovative, regardless of the lighting and my makeup and my hair, and because you look back at that. But you are being very, very innovative and using a different approach. I think a lot of times, like I look at Oprah's old stuff, her stuff was not that great. I look at, you know, artists, their music, that stuff, they were just workshopping a lot of these things. And so when I saw that video, I was like, oh, look at her little 10 reasons why you should move to Atlanta. I said, I'm not going because I don't like number 9. No, I'm just playing.
So 2020 version coming soon. But yeah, but doing that though, I had no idea that would open the floodgates for people. Like someone who called me, who purchased from Australia, they ended up purchasing 5 houses from me. They called me. They said, we were looking. We're here. We were looking in Birmingham. And this is so important. No matter what business you're in, pick up your phone and call people back. Because I picked up my phone, none of the Birmingham agents they called picked up their phone. So guess where they invested? Atlanta with me, and they bought 5 houses. So how many agents probably missed that opportunity in Alabama because they just didn't pick up their phone or call people back?
What's wrong with the folks in Alabama? I'm going down there next week to protest. Pick up the doggone phone. All right, so before we go to the super bomb questions, how can our listeners get in contact with you?
I am all over on social as Christian Sold It, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N, Sold It. And my website is omyatl.com.
I love that. Okay. All right, so this is my favorite part of the show. It's called the Super Bomb Questions. And it's a rapid fire. Let me say it again, rapid fire.
Oh.
Not how when I ask you how long you were married, slow motion. rapid fire questions. And these are the questions because, again, these are questions that really let people know who you are and what you're about. They see you on TV. They know you're selling real estate. They know you guys are doing great. But these are the other things that people want to know. All right, so here we go. You ready?
Ready.
All right, I know you have a busy, busy schedule. So what? Walk us through your morning routine.
Oh, my God, it's the worst. So I wake up, I hit snooze 5 times. Then I get up, and I have a Cafe Bustelo.
All right, you do anything else?
And I write in my, not write, that app, 5-minute journal. Mm-hmm. I make sure to write my things out, the 3 things I'm grateful for, what I'm going to do today, and my affirmation.
All right, what's your favorite word?
My favorite word? my favorite word is bandwidth.
Okay, all right, I'm not going to have you explain that. What sound or noise do you love?
The ocean.
What's your superpower?
Listening.
What's your animal spirit?
An owl.
What are you listening to lately?
Reggaeton.
Reggaeton, okay. And what's the one book that you typically recommend to?
Oh, God, I have so many. Okay. One book to... I'll choose Slight Edge.
And when you feel overwhelmed or unfocused or have lost your focus temporarily, what do you typically
put my head down?
Well, I thank you, Miss Ross, and I will
thank you so much. No, this was great. And I had read about you, and I read about the show, so I'm excited now to go back through the podcast. Because like my whole thing, just personally, whenever anyone's talking about real estate, I'm like, it's just so much more than real estate. Like, home is where you do everything at. Home is where you, it's your base. Like, it's where you feel safe and secure. It's, you know, it's a huge responsibility. So that's why I'm just super passionate when people, I feel like they're just trying to get into the industry for a quick buck. And I'm like, first of all, ain't nobody's quick buck in this business. And second of all, like, you have to care. If you don't care, don't be in this business. And that goes for investors. Like, I'm like, people are going to live in these homes that you're flipping. If you don't care, go make your money somewhere else. Don't do it here.
I also would like to thank my super producer, Michael Harrison, and Supremacy for our theme music, and all of you for listening. And as always, believe that something wonderful is about to happen and that some people miss the message because they are too busy looking for the mess. Thanks for tuning in. And do
Amen.
Something for someone else other than yourself today. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you. This is great.